You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanford, and as always, I am your host. And today with me, I have Hope. And we are going to continue talking about different types of insurance, kind of building off what we were talking about last week when we were talking to Stephanie about insurance claims. And this week, we are going to be talking specifically about life insurance and the different types of life insurance, because there are a lot of different types of life insurance. And I'm sure most people have heard of life insurance in some capacity, but we hope to break it down a little bit today and maybe help you better understand what options there are out there and maybe help you decide if you should start looking into life insurance or not. So yeah, Hope, it's great to have you here with me. Can you give us a little bit of what you do and what your experience at the bank here is?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. Here at the bank, I'm an insurance agent. I haven't done actual banking at all and stuff, but I'm an insurance agent and I work on both property and casualty as well as life insurance. Mm-hmm. So property and casualty would be like your home and auto and that type of stuff, or business. But basically I do absolutely everything that has to do with insurance, from quoting it to writing it to claims and anything else in between and mm-hmm. stuff. So,
and yeah, and you said you do a lot of the life insurance for us here.
Correct? I do all the life insurance.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, there might be some more in-depth, like universal type policies that we send over to investments mm-hmm. and stuff. But otherwise, right now I'm the only one in the insurance department that does life insurance.
Awesome. So she'll be a great resource for us to pick her brain a little bit today. So yeah, let's just get right into it here. So insurance, you know, it's an important piece of your financial health to have intact and make sure is intact before disaster strikes. Hopefully right. You're not trying to think about it after something serious has already happened. So one of the aspects of insurance that's very major and talked about a lot, as I've already mentioned a lot, is life insurance. So let's go from the very top, peak overview. What is life insurance?
Okay, well, life insurance is an insurance policy that pays out set some amount that's determined at the time they apply for the policy at a time of a person's death, which helps protect your family, protect your home, and any number of things, pay your bills, any kind of things. And it's important to get the policy in force prior to becoming ill mm-hmm. or being on your deathbed.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's, you know, something we can maybe talk a little bit about later when we get more in the weeds, but that's a whole part of the underwriting process that you may have heard us talk about before with insurance, is, you know, figuring out if people are eligible and what right. the cost of the insurance might be. So the earlier you're thinking about it, more affordable it'll be. But so what are the different kinds of life insurance that you typically work with?
Okay. Well, there are several different kinds of life insurance. There's term life, which is the most common, with whole life, universal life, and the universal life can be either regular universal or variable life universal, and then what people consider final expense, which is basically a smaller whole life policy.
Yeah. So you mentioned the term seems to be the most common and kind of what you mentioned first. Can you tell us what term life is?
Sure. Term life is a life policy, and generally where the term is set is the dollar amount for the term is set. So it's a term policy that is set for a set dollar amount for a certain length of time. So say you have a 20-year term policy. At the end of 20 years, the premium starts to skyrocket. And so then you either have to apply for a new policy or people let the policy lapse, which isn't a good idea. So either one can happen. But the main thing is, the true price and everything else ends after set time. I always say it's like renting instead of owning.
Yeah. So it seems like one of the cheaper policy options. So that's why it's more common, especially in younger people who are working. I know, like in my experience, when my wife and I were younger, we started looking at term life right away because, you know, maybe we weren't making as much money. We were younger and we just wanted to have enough money where if something happened to one of us, we could pay for our mortgage and, you know, any expenses of a funeral or something like that. So it is, it seems more common with younger working people who are wanting to make sure that if they pass that, you know, the people that they're, that are depending on them for money aren't, you know, totally left destitute by them passing away. You know, hopefully at least setting them up in some sort of capacity to be financially stable. And so, like Hope did mention, it does end after a while. So, I guess, that kind of leads into the next question is, you know, what are the drawbacks of term life, which you've kind of already talked about and can maybe lead into talking about whole life too. What would you consider the major drawbacks? You know, it is a cheaper policy, but what are the major drawbacks?
Well, the drawback of the term life is, again, it's the premium set for a set term. At the end of that term, like I said, you either have to reapply for something else or you have to pay a totally skyrocket price. So like your premium used to have been, say, $500 for the year for the last 20 years. Well, you're 21, suddenly it's $5,000. And that's not exactly a crazy amount to see it jump up because there's no underwriting or anything at the end of that. So then, and it would keep increasing each year.
Yeah. And, you know, when you get to that point, some of the things that affect underwriting for life policies are your risk factors of how likely is, you know, unfortunately, how likely is this person to pass away?
Right.
So they look at things like your age and maybe if you've gotten any health issues since then, and you're probably a lot healthier when you were maybe in your 20s when you first got that policy than, like Hope was saying, if this was a 20-year policy and now you're in your 40s, you're statistically more likely to pass away, unfortunately, and you probably have other health complications as well at that point. So that is definitely a major drawback to when you're looking at one policy versus a term policy versus something like whole life. Can you tell us a little bit about whole life and what that is?
Sure. A whole life policy locks in the premium for your entire life. So you say you take out the policy when you're 20 and the premium's $200, you would just keep paying that premium right up until the day you die, as long as you don't miss a payment. So you got to just consistently pay your premium and then it stays in force and stuff. So, but then the dollar amount is there for your heirs, you know, if God forbid when you die.
And it is another type of policy where you pick the amount that you would want for your payout, so your coverage amount. And when we're talking about payouts, the coverage amount of your policy is, you know, dictated when you apply for it. It's part of what determines the cost of your premium. So on top of things like health risks and stuff like that, what would you say some of the drawbacks are? You know, maybe they're not as strong of a drawback, but what would you say the drawbacks of whole life versus something like term life might be?
The main drawback is it's more expensive and stuff. But then if you get sick, the policy's still there. You know, because, you know, we all think we're not going to get sick. But how many people do you know that are 60 without some kind of health issue?
Yeah, so that is a consideration that, you know, I myself have gone through and a lot of working people think about when they're thinking about life insurance is, do you really want this policy even when you're older, or are you mostly just trying to have a policy for the point when your debts may be the highest? Granted, you never know what your debts may be in the future. So something like a whole life does have that added benefit of, say, you get 20 years down the road and you're not exactly where you thought you'd be financially. But that policy is still going to stay the same and still going to be there if something were to happen versus if you had a term of, again, we keep using the example of 20 years. Term life doesn't have to be 20 years. That's just, you know, the example we're using. And you get 20 years down the road and, you know, you wish you could still have a policy for a cheaper price, but now you're going to have to pay a way higher premium for something like term or a whole new. You could look at getting whole life at that point, but it's going to be more expensive than if you would have done whole life back when you looked at doing a policy in the first place.
Well, and the whole life policy or term policy, all life insurance is one of the factors is your age. So it's not ever going to be cheaper
in the future.
And stuff. So.
Yeah, because again, that's what they're calculating is how much money they'd need to pay out if you were to pass away, and then unfortunately, how likely are you to pass away?
Right.
And one of the big factors is age in that. So let's talk a little bit about those other ones that you had mentioned. I know that term and whole life are the most common, especially right. for just regular. When people think life insurance, that's probably what they're thinking.
Correct.
Is term or whole life. You mentioned variable and universal insurance, or universal mm-hmm. insurance and variable being basically a type of that.
Right.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what those are?
Well, the universal life policies, whether it be variable or not, they have an investment factor mm-hmm. tied into them. So the investment factor... Basically, so people will take out a universal life if they have extra funds that they want to invest that maybe they're trying to hide or something. Then they may buy the life insurance and put it in that way. And that's why if somebody's interested in the universal life at our agency, we generally refer them over to the investments department here at
yeah.
the bank.
Yeah, because we do have an investment department here at the bank. And that does make a lot of sense because you are looking at... a policy that does have more direct involvement with the market and investment values mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So those are a little bit riskier as well because right. you're not having like a set payout value. You're playing the market. You know, there is more risk involved there as well.
Definitely with the universal life policies, you have to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
In the past,
it's not a set and forget.
It's not
type
a set
thing.
Amount, and you can't just. The premium payments can be fluctuated, different amounts. You don't have to necessarily pay a set amount each time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fall below the funding that's needed for the policy, it can wreak havoc on it.
Yeah.
And so you have to really pay attention to it and really.
You
almost
have to really
monitor
want
it.
To do it.
You have,
yeah.
you have to monitor it much more. Where a whole life or a term, you pay your premium and it keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. And then we mentioned it again, burial or final expense insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just touch on that a little bit and just mention what
sure.
that is. Because I know that is pretty common because it's when you're older and you're looking at getting some sort of insurance, a smaller policy is going to be cheaper.
Right.
So.
Well, and basically... That's maybe a $25,000, $50,000 policy, basically to pay the cost for your burial mm-hmm. and stuff. And again, it's usually people who haven't taken out a whole life policy earlier
mm-hmm.
or decide, you know what, I don't need this $200,000 policy anymore. My house is paid off. My kids are grown.
Yeah.
So they just want enough to pay off the burial.
Yeah.
And then they can do a burial or a final expense policy. And now, actually, one point I wanted to make is on a whole life policy, say you had the $200,000. There's mm-hmm. a lot of the policies where, depending upon how flexible the policy is that you took out,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to just decrease the death benefit on it.
Yeah. So if you started with a whole, if you started with a whole life from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like another reason that whole life right. is the one that you feel is the best
right.
overall. Yeah. The older you get, you can just start peeling back that amount
right.
of the payoff just because you have less debts to cover.
Right.
Again, that could be another consideration as you're looking at it versus the term is as if you were like, well, I'm going to have the most debts at this point. If you started with a whole life with a higher payoff, you could peel
right.
that back as you get older mm-hmm. too. So what do you think are the big points of life where people should maybe start considering life insurance policies?
The main ones that people call on is when they get married, when they buy a house, if they have children,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And then they start to thinking about the final expense or that type of stuff, like when mm-hmm. they retire.
Sure.
And things, then they start changing things up.
Yeah.
And stuff. But otherwise, it's usually when they buy a house. And when they have children.
Yeah. And I mean, and it makes sense too, because the whole point of the insurance is you're no longer here and you mm-hmm. don't want to be saddling other people with your debts.
Right.
So if you're at the point where you're gaining dependents, like maybe a spouse or children, mm-hmm. or you're gaining something that has a debt affiliated with it, like a house or something, then it makes sense to consider some sort of financial option to make it more easy for people if you were to pass away unexpectedly. So kind of pivoting away from the application process and the consideration to the claiming side of things, what does the claim process for life insurance look like? You know, I'm sure there are parts of that that are similar to claiming, you know, something like a normal auto insurance policy, but it's obviously there's someone has passed away in this, so there is more involved there.
Right. The main thing, first step would be try to contact the agent, and they'll help you walk you through it. If that agent's no longer around, depending upon how long they've had the policy in force, then on the policy documents, there should be a phone number. Call the phone number, see what needs to be done. You will definitely need a death certificate. And then you'll need to prove that, yes, you're the heir and stuff. You know, hopefully the person has a beneficiary listed on the policy who's still around and things. Then it'll make it much easier for payout at the time of the claim and stuff. But the main thing is just proving that, yes, you're the heir, and yes, it should go to you and stuff. So
you may need to provide some identifying documentation that you are the heir, along with the documentation showing that someone has passed away. Once the claim has gone through and you're ready for the payout, what do the payouts typically look like for a life insurance policy?
They can either be a lump sum payout, or they can be set up on installments. Now, it may be a lump sum payment or installments to one person, or it may, if the person has five heirs and stuff, they may have put, I want all my children's equal shares. So then they divvy it up, and then they cut the check to those, each of those individuals. It's not just one check that goes out then.
And you know, with it being all sometimes larger payouts, you know, they're, it's nice to have the consideration of how you want it to pay out depending on your situation as well.
And one heir can say, I want the lump sum. Somebody else can say, I want mine in installments. So it's flexible.
And, you know, it also, I know, can get more involved if the beneficiaries aren't clearly defined, if other people have passed away and it has to go through like an estate or probate. So that's a whole other topic that we don't need to get into. But, you know, that's the hopeful and cleanest situation is beneficiaries are clearly defined and the money can pass from A to B and then, you know, get settled from there. With that, I know we've covered a lot of the basics at this point. Do you have any other closing thoughts or things that you commonly suggest or tell people when they're considering life insurance policies?
Well, a couple things. Now, there are many different ways to set up the life insurance. And so the policies can be customized to your individual needs, you know, within reason. I mean, I can't, you know, but so as far as that goes, but also, well, basically can fit most situations and things like that. But the other thing I always tell people is, try to keep your life policies by your wills so that it's easy to find for the heirs. Because there's nothing worse than having a life policy sitting in a safety deposit box up north somewhere where no one even knew you had the safety deposit box and they don't find it for 20 years after you're born, after you're dead.
And, you know, you've been paying for this policy your whole life and then it comes the time to finally use and no one can claim it properly.
Well, and it will eventually get paid out to somebody because the insurance companies have to track it and stuff and periodically do a search. Is this person still alive? If it, you know, seems like they wouldn't be and things like that. But that means how many generations of heirs didn't get the benefit of the
intended beneficiaries probably didn't get it at that point. Yeah. That's a really good thing to consider is, with, you know, all of your estate planning documentation is, have it all in a place where the people who would need to know where it is. Make that stuff easy enough for the people who need to know where it is to find. Because and that's true for all of your items and documents that you may need people to take care of if you were to pass away. So that's just a good consideration as well. Is there anything else that you I
think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, yep. That's awesome. Well, if you have any questions on insurance, you can always call one of our awesome insurance agents here, like Hope or like Stephanie that we had last week, or you can check out our new insurance website, which is citizensbankinsurance.com. That is live, and you can go on there and fill in information and start looking at quotes from some of our agents as well to get that process going. And yeah, with that, we thank you, Hope, for sitting down with us today and talking about life insurance. If you have any questions on this episode, or if you have any suggestions for future episodes, you can email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.